First of all, let's say good evening to everyone. So good to be here this evening. Thanks to all our visitors for coming here this evening, being with us in our evening service at Embry Hills. Certainly delighted that you're here, and we hope that what we say this evening will be of God's word. If there's anything that's out of the way or whatever, please feel free to come to us and ask us at the end of the service, and we certainly will try to help any misunderstanding you may have or whatever, anything that I say or may hear or whatever. Please come to us, and if I can't help, hopefully somebody will be able to assist you with whatever that you have a concern with. Certainly good to be this evening. I guess I've ran as long as I could, and now it's my turn to get up here and try to speak to you what thus says the Lord. It certainly is a good opportunity to be here. Appreciate the elders for allowing me this opportunity to stand before you this evening to try to preach a little bit of God's word. Of course, it's much easier to sit out there in the audience and just be all comfortable and everything and not be up here with all eyes on you, but we know God wants us to move forward sometimes and step forward and be all we can be for him. We certainly, in our morning class there, in our morning auditorium class, Brother Grady, we've been studying on the kingdom of heaven, talking about the kingdom and what the kingdom means and how the kingdom is ready for us and how the kingdom is always right and right for more servants. So this evening, I'm going to talk about being a worker. Being a worker for God. Nowadays, we hear so much about the economy, job losses, housing losses, high gas prices, high food prices, just hard times in general. It's a topic every day on the news, and the internet, newspapers, just every way you turn. People talking about it at work, water fountain, just wondering, what's going to happen? What's this country coming to? Perhaps you've heard of this, like I said, in casual conversation, or even in your work environment. A few weeks ago, Brother Larry spoke to us on worry, how we need to cast our cares on God in his message on worry there on Father's Day. I guess it was a timely message, even to us fathers, on Father's Day, thinking about worry and how we sometimes can get wrapped up and get anxious, get over anxious, full of anxiety, wondering about, you know, just how things are going to be. But we have a God who we can cast all our cares upon, and he can handle all of them. Even a couple weeks later, even think today, Brother Johan and the rest of the men, other four men, were ordained to deacon. As deacons, he spoke to us about how we need to cast our cares. Well, that's Larry. How we need to, he spoke of that peace that surpasses all understanding. That peace that only you can find in God. With these type of cares, it can be easy to lose sight of the spiritual work that is required in God's kingdom. So this evening, I hope we can all be reminded, encouraged, and motivated to be workers for God. Workers for the Lord, while he gives us time and takes care of our needs. Doulos means do. And it's certainly how you serve God is by doing. You certainly can't be a servant by just sitting idly, looking around, looking at other people's needs, or seeing what concerns they have and not doing anything about them. A servant is someone who labors or works for someone else in their interest. And that someone is God. He certainly have our best interest at heart, and we need to have his best interest at heart at also. And that is by serving him. As a Christian, we're called to serve God, our creator, by serving those he created. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 7 through 9, Paul describes our calling. Let's look at that passage in 2 Timothy, first chapter, verses 7 through 9. And that's in page 800 in your pew Bibles. Page 800. 2 Timothy 1, begin at verse 7 through verse 9. Okay, it reads as follows. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So we see here that Apostle Paul is even telling young preacher Timothy, in his second letter to Timothy, how we need to serve, how he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of sound mind. And when we have that assurance, I don't think we should be concerned about nothing, man, or what anybody's saying, or what anybody's doing. We have God on our side. We need to move forward on doing what he has called us to do. Jesus speaks about the disciples when they had the early dispute when they were traveling to Capernaum. He tells them that the greatest in the kingdom shall serve all. And Paul, in his first letter to the church at Corinth, he tells them in chapter 9, verse 19, that even though he's free, he made himself servant unto all so that he might gain the more. Therefore, we know that who we serve, God, the Creator, and why we serve, as we are called according to God's own purpose. This should help us refocus our thoughts and efforts from the worldly cares we spoke of earlier to our spiritual cares of working for God. And that is so true. We certainly can get wrapped up in what's going on today. Just jobs, family, things of this life. Our focus can certainly be taken off what we need to focus on, and that is serving others, loving others, taking care of their needs. The scriptures also give us some idea about the characteristics of a servant. We find in general that a true servant makes himself available for kingdom work. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. That's found on page 801 in your pew Bibles. 2 Timothy 2, verse 4. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And that's what we have to look at this fight, this walk we're walking with God. We have to look at it as being a soldier in the army, in God's army, ready to go to fight it, ready to go to war at any time, any moment. I have a cousin who calls from time to time from Iraq. He's over in Iraq serving in the war. And he calls and gets on the phone. You know, he talks like, right calm and easy and everything. You wouldn't think a war is going on. But he knows that when it's time to go to battle, when it's time to suit up, it's time to go to war. It's time to please the commander, to please the chief that he's working for every day. He knows that he can't tarry, he can't say, I'm playing a game, I'm playing videos, or it's time to go to war, it's time to go to work, it's time to get busy. So we get the idea that as a soldier in warfare, we don't fill up our time with the affairs of this life. As Larry talked about this morning, El Shaddai, the Almighty God. This should encourage us to make sure that we always have the time to serve God whenever needed, and not just when it's convenient. Can God mess up your plans? Somebody has a need, 12 o'clock at night, 1 in the morning, call you. Brother, I need you to come and talk. My heart is heavy. I'm burdened. What do you do? Call somebody else. I'll be there in the morning. Say, I can't make it right now. I'm sleeping. I have to go to work in the morning. Real servants have to get up. Go see about their brother or sister. Go see how they're doing. Go see if they can help, assist. That's what true servanthood is all about, being a worker for God. We want to always be ready to serve. You need to ask yourself, am I overcommitted with daily things? Like I mentioned before, jobs, working long hours, overtime, not spending enough time with family for his Bible study with them. Just doing things we need to do to be engaged in God's work. We're going to look at some characteristics now that a true servant also, as we've been doing. A true servant pays attention to the needs of him, to the needs of those around him at that time. We should always be looking for ways to help others. And as soon as we see it, we must act upon the opportunity as we're instructed in Galatians 6:10. It's page 786 in the Pew Bible. We know that opportunities come and go for servanthood. We know that, I've heard that, opportunities is always more recognizable going than coming. You may not always see this opportunity when it comes to you. So we have to always be ready, be able to recognize opportunities of service when they come. They come and they go, and we have to be ready. Always be ready to serve others. Let's look at Galatians 6:10. It's page 786 in our Pew Bible. Galatians 6:10. Scripture there that we probably heard before. Galatians 6:10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Like I just said, you know, members around us here, right here in the body with us, they may have a need that may be suffering, may be hurting, needing somebody to console them. I know recently we just restructured our groups here at Denver Hills, allowing us more opportunities to get together more, twice the number of opportunities now, where it was two a year, now it's about four a year, be quarterly. And that was done to just bring us together more, to help us to know what our needs are, know what our struggles are, know when we're missing, know when we're absent, not here with the body, not here with the saints. Those things are important in God's kingdom. We have to know that. And that's what the elders, that's what they try to do, try to give us opportunities to spend time with each other, to know what each other is doing, Bible studies, things of that nature. That's reason I'm so proud of our young people here. They always look for opportunities to get together, to do studies. Even just recently this morning, a young man came to me and saying we're looking to start another study with the younger people, the 12, 14, 15-year-olds. And that just encourages my heart when I hear that and I see that. Young people are looking for more opportunities to get together, to study, to grow, to become more Christ-like, to be more of a servant for him. And we as adults, we certainly need to do that too. And I know this morning we were talking about in our Bible class that little children, you know, how we need to come as little children, how just the nature of little children, how they are. Just, you know, they are unforgiving, they are very respectful, they don't hold grudges, they're loving. And that is certainly how we need to be as adults. You know, I know once we get old, you know, get grown and we harbor things that we hold too long and grudges and instead of going to that person and talking to them and say, you know, I just haven't been feeling right about you lately. So we just need to sit down and talk, just talk about it. I think that's the godly way. I know that's the godly way. That's how God is pleased when we do that and not going and worshiping, gossip and slander and backbite and just, you know, just say things that we shouldn't be saying about each other. When we see a need, we have the blessed opportunity to grow in servanthood and work for God. We don't know if we will ever have the chance to serve that person again. So we should take advantage of the opportunities at that time. This is truly lacking in the world. So most people in the world, they see a need, see people hurting, hey, they just pretty much write them off. You know, I hope they get over it the best way they can, as soon as they can. But we in the body, we're not commanded to do that. We look out for one another, we serve one another and their needs. We see them hurting, we go to them, you know, in private or in love, mostly in love. Let that person know, I'm concerned about you. You know, you probably heard those saying that I don't care how much you know, but the only thing I want to know is how much you care about me. And that's what's so important, how much we care for one another while we walk this walk for God. That was a retail chain that a lot of us are probably familiar with. They used to wear a little blue vest in the stores while they're in there waiting on people, waiting on the customers. And you wouldn't know that their vest said this until you saw them walking away. And on the back of the vest, it read, "How may I help you?" That's a little late after they're leaving, right, to be trying to help you. So you end up having to go and chase them to try to, you know, ask them what you needed and can you help me find this, help me find that. But we certainly don't want to be that way neither in the body. We certainly need to know those needs before that person walks away and goes to somebody else to help fulfill that need. If we don't do it here in the body, hey, they may go to the world and try to get their need fulfilled. And we would have failed in our job miserably. We would certainly displease God if we let that happen. So we certainly don't want to be guilty of that, have that on our conscience and be judged for that in the last days. Although this is an example of how the world acts, we as Christians should be finding needs and offering help as much as we can. Because we are servants of God, we must use whatever He has given us and not make excuses or procrastinate or wait for better circumstances. We all know we can be guilty of that sometimes too. We can say that we are waiting on a bigger house, or I don't have enough room yet, my house is not clean enough, I don't have enough furniture. just all kind of excuses. We all heard them, how people can offer excuses why they don't want to always serve or have you over for lunch, have you over for dinner. The excuses are varied, many that we can offer up. If you wait for the perfect conditions, you may never have an opportunity to serve. Even Herman and Lisa, you know, they being in their condition, visually impaired. We know that they are serving, they have served, and I know they will continue as we can encourage them to do more. Chester, as he's already serving, doing what he can. And we appreciate that. We want to continue to encourage that, Chester and Herman and Lisa. They have done so much for me personally. Just they really humbled me in many ways, just spending time with them and just making me appreciate just what I do have. Just even sight, just something as simple as sight. Just, you know, just working with them, spending time with them, and just it is humbling, very humbling to just know that they keep on going on in spite of. They're here this evening, Chester, going through whatever, you know, whatever they have to face to get here every day, every Sunday, Wednesday. But that is certainly encouraging us, and we certainly want them to keep on doing it, keep on doing it for themselves and their servanthood and just being here for us. It really is an encouragement to us to come. Use all that God has given you in service for him. Regardless of your financial position, you may be able to take some to share with others in their time of need. We have a great example of this in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. That's verses 1 and 3, page 780 in the Pew Bible. Let's look at that passage right quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. That's page 780 in the Pew Bible. In Corinthians 8, chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and in their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing. So we see here that Paul is teaching the church at Corinthians to excel in the giving. To give above, beyond your means. Sometimes we are often called to do that too, but give beyond our means, stretch ourselves. Get out of our comfort zone. It's so easy to stay in your comfort zone. But I think that's where the most growth occurs when we do leave that comfort zone and stretch ourselves for God. And I think he will be pleased when we do that. Paul further tells us in verse 9 through 14 that Christ made himself poor and that it was profitable for them to give first willingly so that the needs will be met equally. You can assist with a Bible class, lead prayer, even new converts. That's where we really have to encourage them. We know it's not easy just being converted, coming to lead prayer, to lead on the table, pray at the Lord's table. That's why that encouragement is so important. We have to let them know that they're not alone. They're amongst family, amongst their brothers and sisters, and we're with them all the way. They're not in this by themselves. Whatever home you are blessed with, you can use it for hospitality, as I mentioned before. The most important act of service is teaching God's word and leading others to Christ. That is certainly what we're here for, to seek and save the lost. Seek and save the lost. That's our main mission. And that's how we do it, by serving others and finding out their needs and seeing what their thoughts are, seeing where their focus is. What concerns them? What hurts them? What makes them happy? Rejoice with them when they're happy. Sad with them when they're sad. So that's what we have to do. So the focus will not be on the material, but on the souls of those who don't know God. God will be pleased that you are using his blessings and service and teach others at any age. Like I said a minute ago, just a good example is our Embry Hills youth. It's how they always look for opportunities to teach and get with others on teaching and learning more about Christ. That is so humbling. I really encourage them to keep doing that. It's such a testament to the parents that are teaching them, trying to bring them along. I think Embry Hills has a great future with our young people. If they stay the road, stay the course that they're on, and the great things that these unlimited things they can do for God if they stay the course. And I certainly hope and pray that they do that. As a servant of God, we must work humbly without seeking recognition. A true servant doesn't promote or call attention to himself. Self-promotion and real servanthood don't mix. God does the exalting. We see the word exalt, A-L-T, the last three letters in the word exalt. It means altitude, it means how you want to raise yourself. Let man exalt you. We're not looking for the exalting for men. If there's going to be any exalting done, we let God do that. We're not looking for man pleasure, to pleasure and impress men. Galatians 1:10 speaks to that also. Paul to the church at Galatia. Galatians 1:10. You don't have to turn it. I'll just read it here. Again, if you like. Galatians 1:10. For do I now persuade man or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Paul knows he can't do both, trying to please man and please God. Because man would have you just doing everything, jumping through all type of hoops, doing this, doing that, trying to please him. But you're trying to please God. If you're humble and sincere in what you're doing, God will be pleased. Humility. You know, we as men, we sometimes have a problem with that, being humble. That's the reason we have to always keep that in check. You know, keep our hearts simple. Keep our minds and hearts simple before him. I've read that nothing is more humbling than a three-way mirror. And that is so true, three-way mirror. It lets you know just how little you really are. It shows every angle of you. It leaves nothing out. So that's the reason it's so important that we remain humble before God. Another passage where it says, pride in our service can distract us from God's purpose in service. Do you think it's possible to serve in the church for a lifetime and still not be a servant? Y'all think it's possible? It certainly is. Because that person didn't have the heart of a servant. Served all their time and didn't have the heart of a servant. God still wasn't pleased. And what a tragedy there would be to serve a whole lifetime and not still be a servant. You have to have the heart of a servant. And these characteristics I'm going over tells you about the characteristics that a servant's heart must show. Genesis, let's look at Genesis chapter 39, verse 1 through 5. That's Genesis 39, verses 1 through 5. We're going to look at Joseph. And now he served Potiphar. It's found on page 28 in the Pew Bible. Page 28 in the Pew Bible. Genesis 39, verses 1 through 5. And it reads, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites, who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house and all that he had put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. So we see how Joseph was humble in serving God. Laid down. He didn't care the status or care about status or how prominence or preeminence position brought him. He served Potiphar anyhow, the jailer. And that's what we have to do. No matter how menial a task you may think it is, how low or whatever it is, that's where humility comes in. We're not serving men. We're serving God. We are pleasing him. No matter that. I think that's why we can really grow when we do the menial tasks and do those things that nobody else wants to do. You'll be amazed. Just the not for attention, but pleasing God. Just serving others. I know even at work sometimes I do things that a lot of people don't want to do. Just office luncheons. I by myself, you know, pouring ice, filling up the ice with cups, you know, filling up the cups with ice, make slice of cake or something, and hey, everybody just saying thank you or whatever. Nobody else has done it, so I don't worry about it. I just do it anyhow. But you know, I know I'm not doing it for them. It's spiritual. It's all for the glory of God. Not for them. They may think it's for them, but it's really for him, him and his glory. That's what I'm looking at. Him and his glory. Pleasing him. God has promised us that if we serve him, we will have his provisions in this life and be rewarded in heaven. Jesus tells us of our importance to God in Matthew 6 and tells us not to be concerned with any lack. Let's look at verse 6 of the book of Matthew, chapter 31 through 33. That's Matthew 6, verse 31 through 33. And it's found on page 653 in the Pew Bible, page 653. And it reads, "Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." There's again another assurance that we have. No need to worry about the things that you need. God will provide them. Food, clothing, shelter. He has already made a way for that, made provisions for us for that. No need to worry. So if we seek his kingdom, seeking his servant, that all our needs will be met. This promise allows us to go about doing the work of the Lord without focusing on our cares. Remember, our faithful service pleases God, as we saw earlier in 2 Timothy 2:4 and in Genesis 39 with Joseph's example. And we are assured that our work is not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, let's look at that also. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, found on page 776 in our Pew Bibles. 776. Like I was saying earlier, this economy, this the way things are right now, we may have a tendency to focus on our needs, our wants, our desires. How am I going to take care of my family? Is my job secure? Is my family okay? But it's up to us to turn to God and know that he has provided for us everything that we need. Those things will be provided. That's 2 Timothy 2, 776. That's Colossians, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Let's read that. "Therefore, my beloved brother, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain." So if we do that, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work, always busy, always looking for opportunities to serve God and one another. And that will certainly please God. Our labor will not be in vain in the Lord if we do that. Keep that in our hearts and in our minds. Also, Colossians 3:24. That's found on page 794 in the Pew Bibles. Colossians 3:24. It was although written to servants obeying masters in their job. So we have to be encouraged to look at this also. Colossians 3:24. "Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." Another assurance that if we serve him, our reward of our inheritance, it will be there. We keep serving the Lord Jesus. Of course, there are many other scriptures. This is certainly not an exhaustive list of all the scriptures that we could have looked at today, but just some scriptures to illustrate how God will provide for us if we just only turn to him and know that his assurance is there for us. Be encouraged, Christ. Christ was our ultimate example of a true servant and worker for God. He told us his purpose in Luke 19 and 10. "For the Son of Man is come to seek and save which is lost." That's his whole purpose for coming to earth, to seek and save that which was lost. And that is us. We were lost, without hope. But he had enough love for us to send his only son to die for us, that we might have a right to see him again one day. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 13, page 790, people, let's look at that right quick. Page 790, Philippians 2, verse 6 through 13. Verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. In him you are also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Bear with him in baptism, in which you are, in which also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And that is so powerful. So powerful to hear. Know that he has forgiven us of all of our wrong, our transgressions, our sins. And that is certainly something to be rejoiceful about, knowing that he has forgiven us. Okay, I hope you're encouraged today to, despite all the problems that the world has, God loves us and he keeps us in his care every day. We certainly don't want to become sidetracked and get caught up, like I said, in the snares and in the cares of this world, because we know that we are certainly living for a better home, living for a home that this world can no way compare to. And that's what we certainly want to do today, and try to encourage us to stay encouraged. Stay edified. Stay built up. Let's spend more time together doing his work. You can become a worker for God today and be obedient like Jesus was. You can begin by serving him, by hearing his word, believing and confessing Jesus as Savior. Repent of your sins and be baptized in the watery grave of baptism. You can do that today if your heart is right, if you're ready. Baptismal is ready to take you today if you're ready to become a servant of him. You're not alone. We're with you all the way. We won't do a good job of getting you wet and leaving you out to dry. We will certainly be with you all the way. We know that can happen sometimes. If, you know, once new converts are baptized and start their walk, we can sometimes not be as close to them as we need to be, keep them as close to us as we need to. So we certainly we won't try not to let that happen if at all. You can serve God and be assured of his eternal rewards. If you've already put on Christ in baptism, you can turn around on the road that you've been on. You can turn around and turn back to him. God allows you turns. If you've been on the wrong way, you can turn around, come back to him. He will take you back. He's always there waiting for us to come and walk with him some more. Continue working for him. Continue working for him every day of your life. Humbly making yourself available and ready to serve him faithfully. Few stanzas of a song I want to just read, so it did not sing. Read, it's 658, there's much work to do. There's much to do, there's work on every hand. Hark the cry for help comes ringing through the land. Jesus calls for reapers, I must active be. What wilt thou, O Master, here am I, send me. There's a plaintive cry of mourning souls distressed, and the salved hearts who seek but find no rest. Thee should have my love and tender sympathy. Ready at thy bidding, here am I, send me. There are souls who linger on the brink of woe. Lord, I must, cannot bear to let them go. Let me go and tell them, brother, turn and flee. Master, I would save them. Here am I, send me. Life gives us many choices, but eternity only gives us two. And it's up to us to choose which way we're going to go. I just say he's going to come as a thief in the night. We're not going to know when he's come. He's coming. So it really behooves us to be ready at all times. The time is now. The pool is ready to take you if you're ready. God is standing there waiting to receive you in his arms. And we are too. We're ready to assist you in any way. Any need you may have, we're ready to receive you. So if there's anyone who subject to an invitation at this time, please come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.